When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for making your way here, checking out this episode and the series. Hopefully you like what you hear enough to hit the subscribe button. We put out brand new interviews 3 times a week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, and know what's happening in the music world. And of course, you can find us at all the major podcasts hotspots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube, where you'll also find the video version of this interview as well. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest, Tommy Lee, yes, Motley Crue drummer, founding member. He is back with a brand new solo record called Andro. Now solo isn't exactly true because there is a whole lot of collaborations, but whereas Methods of Mayhem leads towards the more, I guess, well-known and celebrated names, these are mostly unknown names. He's really championing some underdogs and some brand new artists, so I want to ask him why he chose that route. Relating to hip-hop as a drummer, replacing, I think this was originally supposed to be a Methods of Mayhem record. There's also a male-female separation, male-heavy on the first side, female on the flip. That goes back, kind of playing into that word androgynous in the album title. But further on down that lane, they also cover Prince. So we're going to discuss how that all works together and covering the Purple One, what that was like, collaborating with folks like Mickey Avalon, and definitely the biggest name on this record, Post Malone. Post Malone had done a song called Tommy Lee, and Tommy Lee has remixed it and added it as a bonus cut on this record. It's sort of with that, you know, when you've got big pop artists naming their songs after you, you are a pop culture icon. And I want to talk to Tommy about what it's like being a persona like that, being called out by pop artists, as well as meeting fan expectations. When you're making a record like this, how does it speak to all those old Motley Crue fans? We'll hear about that and so much more. Let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Tommy Lee.
Hey, Kyle, what's up? Dang, you sound like a busy dude. You're doing this all the time.
All the time, man.
Thanks for having me. This is cool.
I'm so excited to have you. First off, congratulations on this record with Andro. Such a fun, powerful listen. I mean, this is a great little, I won't say little project. This is a great, huge record that you've done. Congrats.
Thank you so much, man. That makes me really happy that you enjoy it, man. Everyone's digging it. I get extremely happy when people enjoy it, you know, because I certainly enjoyed making it. So I always hope that, you know, in return, people enjoy it as much as I did making it, like, because it was that fun.
And to set it up, you know, so what you've done here, you've got a record with all of these different sounds, but you've tapped a lot of new artists to take the vocals on it. Yes. You've got a massive Rolodex. I mean, you could have called anybody famous that you wanted to. Why did you decide to go this route?
Yeah, you know, and I've done that before with Methods of Mayhem. I went down that route and went off my collaboration list of people I've always wanted to work with, which was super rad. Like, I loved that. This time, you know, I've added people to the list of people that I would like to work with, people that I've been following, and I'm like, God, this person's amazing. I really love what they do. One day I'd like to do something with them, and they get on the list. And so and a lot of them on the record, most of them are people you may or may not have heard of. And so in the process, when I'm writing and working on a record, I'll have a track, you know, about midway through, and all of a sudden it'll be like, ding, ding. Oh, so-and-so would just murder this. And I'll reach out to them, send them what I've got. And, you know, a few days later, we'll be either here collaborating on it or be doing the beauty of the internet, be doing vocals in some studio in the UK via that process. So it's been a pretty wild experience. But yes, a lot of underdogs, people you may or may not have known. And I dig that because, you know, I feel like I'm getting to turn maybe some people onto something they haven't heard before, or an artist that they're like, whoa, this is really cool. Well, yeah, they are cool.
which is awesome to have that kind of platform and to do that for artists. I mean, God knows there's so much competition and so much noise out there to try to break through it. So what are you looking for then? I mean, and maybe that's an unanswerable question, because maybe it's one of those things when you hear it, you know it. But do you find that you're looking for certain qualities in these artists that you want to help?
Well, I'm not really looking for any certain qualities. It'll be something that attracts me. Like, I'll be like, oh my God, her voice is, it's insane. You know, I get goosebumps, and it'll be like somebody like Kilvane, who can rap insanely and has got this screamo thing, or Push, that South African firecracker style she's got. Like, these are people that I've heard, you know, in the last few years, and I've went, I got to do something with them. Mm. I have to. I'm usually attracted to, you know, stylistically, something they've done or something they've sang, or, you know,
right. Like, there's a lot, you know, especially the first huge chunk of the beginning of the record. I mean, there's a lot of hip hop on here, and that's something that you've been revolving in your world for a very long time. I mean, you mentioned Methods of Mayhem a little bit ago. I wonder, you know, for the way hip hop has changed through the years, and for a lot of these artists to especially be a little bit younger, have you noticed, like, what they're doing, does it still fit in the same way with how you work, you know, their styles? Have you had to, you know, change the way you write a song to meet what they do, or vice versa?
No, because I think, well, hip hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, it's all beat driven, very beat driven. And probably I would assume that most of that starts with beats. And just because of the sheer simplicity, I mean, most hip hop is a big beat and maybe a instrument or two, maybe a bass or a synth or some weird horns or a sample or something, but very simple. So it's always beat driven. And me being a drummer, I'm not saying that's where I always start, but when it comes to those, you know, those style of tracks, it's pretty much inspired or started by me, you know, making a beat going, oh yeah, this is the shit, you know, and if it's moving me, chances are, you know, that's what I do. It's my job. Chances are, if it's moving me, it's going to move you.
There's lots of that on here. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. I did want to ask, you know, there was a part maybe a couple years ago, I feel like I remember you teasing that there would be another Methods of Mayhem record. And I started to wonder, did this take the place of that? Did some of that end up in this record?
Yes. You know what? I mean, because it's funny because I just had this big body of work that I've just kept working on. And I thought it was going to be Methods. Then it kind of wasn't. And I didn't really, I had no title, no nothing. It just hadn't come to me yet. And until I went to go, once the record was done, I went to go sequence the record. This is a fun story. I'll try to condense it a bit. I went to go sequence the record, meaning like, okay, I want this track to open, next track, this track, that track doesn't work. Let's try this one. Nah, that key is weird with this key. Like I would got really frustrated trying to sequence the record. Nothing was really making me go, that's it. Until I separated the female energy and the male energy. And I that was not planned. It was just my last resort. I was like, maybe they're just meant to live on their own sides, like kind of like an old school LP, right? And the second I did that, dude, I was like, this is it. And hence the title Andro came, you know, and, you know, short for androgyny, half male, half female. And I was like, this is what it's meant to be. It completely organically happened. I had nothing to do with it, all by mistake. I love when that happens.
Right. Well, I'm glad you said that because I figured that's where Andro did come from, in androgyny. And that's, you know, a word that in different ways, you know, is more a part of our world and our vernacular more than ever. Was that the only thing? I mean, was that because of just the male female separation? I mean, was there more to that kind of crept in as you went along?
No, I think it was just me recognizing that there was two very distinct different energies. And when I say distinct different energies, I mean, I really just mean in the feminine vocal energy, not song-wise, because there's some hard female stuff. Like there's a track called Demon Bitches that is fire. Like, I mean, that thing has got like, I don't know, man, you want to dance around the room or break shit to it. I'm not talking about energy on a high or low energy, just the fact that it's female and male.
It almost makes sense, I guess, in that sense, though. That's when I, you know, when I started looking at all that, and then you see that you've covered Prince on here. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest androgynous artists of all time, you know, and covering When You Were Mine, you know, so tell me the story there, because again, that just fits so perfectly into what you're saying.
Yeah, that's so cool that you notice and that you like it. Thank you. And if you're gonna cover a Prince song, it better be badass. True. So with that being said, I was talking to my buddy Lucas, who's singing on the track, and he actually had this idea for When You Were Mine. And I was like, When You Were Mine? I don't know, because that song's like, if the original is super poppy, like, mm-hmm. and fast. When You Were Mine. And it's like, I don't know, dude. It's, I mean, I love Prince, but there's a million more other songs I would rather fuck with. And when he brought that up, I was like, just wasn't sure. And he goes, dude, let's try slowing it down. And I was like, oh my God, hold on a second. We slowed it down. And if you, for some reason, it got super dark and sexy. And the lyric really jumps forward, because you don't really pick up, I don't think, that the lyrics stand out when it's going by sort of in a fast poppy kind of way. When it's slowed down, I feel that shit. Mm-hmm. And it immediately was like, this is it. That's the version. Let's do it. So that's where that happened, was taking something. And of course, if you're going to going to cover something, don't just do another version, like, fuck with it.
It instantly becomes one of those songs like, you know, like the Police with Every Breath You Take or something, where it's like those lyrics that you sang a million times and then you turn around and go, you know, I'm on fire. And you're like, oh man, this is way darker than I think I ever realized.
Completely. That's what freaked me out. And I fell in love with it when it was slowed down and went, oh yes, this is a must.
Yeah. It's only too bad Prince isn't here to comment on it, because he probably would have.
I know. And trust me, he's one of the guys on my collaboration list of people that I would absolutely die to work with. And obviously that's not going to happen and never happen, but whoa, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Dude, let's do this song, but slowed down. I'll bet you I hope somewhere that he hears this and perhaps goes, fuck, those guys did a better version than me.
I want to quickly hit a couple of the other tracks on here too, because huge props to Caviar and a Paper Plate. This song is hot. This is, you know, if you got to be like, oh man, that's the obvious single, right? I mean, this song is a big track right here. You got Mickey Avalon on it. Like, yeah. Where did this song come from?
I had the track, and again, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I love Mickey. I've been a fan of his for a while. And I just wanted to work with him. And when the track was kicking around, I was like, I bet Mickey would smash this. And he came in and did just that. And I just love where he took it, you know, lyrically, like Caviar on a Paper Plate. It's so ghetto fabulous, like, that it hurts. I mean, he I can't say enough great things about him. He really, he came in and delivered. And it's cool, because I see a lot of his fans really love the track. They're like, you guys should do some more shit together. So it's cool, man.
When it works, it works. Well, you get so many different sounds on here, you know, and I'll just kind of touch on some of these. I mean, Pretty showcases maybe the softest side of the record, and then you get Make It Back, where, I mean, you're going full on pop, which is interesting in the two sides that you're talking about, because the album really does start, you know, abrasive. And by the end of it, I mean, you've got this huge dance celebration happening, you know, not even commenting on the Post Malone remix yet. But by the time you make it to Make It Back, I mean, that's the thing that I imagine in the club, and everybody's got their hands up and dancing around.
That's one of those. And Julia from Playa, again, the first time I heard her voice, I was like, oh my God, I would love to work with her. But thank you for noticing the diversity, man. I just love that. You know, I'm a fan of so many different styles of music, everything but country. I'm not a big fan of country music. My dad ruined it for me. He played it all the time in the car, and I was like, Anyway, thank you for recognizing that. And yes, there is, I really feel like the record is a really wide spectrum of all the things that I love, but just my version, you know, of it. And I don't know what else to say other than there really is something for everybody on the record. And I did start the record off with Knock Me Down, because being who I am and you know, the drummer from Motley Crue, you've got these people that if they don't hear that right off the bat, they're not going to even give the rest of the record a chance. They'd be like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, and it's just something that I deal with and have dealt with since 2000, since I broke away from Motley to do Methods of Mayhem. I have just received nothing but like flack, and I just don't understand how people, you know, just don't let an artist be an artist and create and do whatever they're feeling, you know. Still do Motley. That's over there. And like, this you'll love this. This is beautiful. The Post Malone track, the Tommy Lee track with Tyla. I remember, and I don't do it. I learned my lesson long ago. I don't really read comments. And my manager's like, you should read some of the comments. They're great. And I was like, okay. And so I go to read a couple. And of course, the first one I see is the most idiotic and reminded me why I don't read comments, was like, This is cool, but it doesn't sound like Motley Crue. And I was like, dude, it's Post Malone and Tyla and me. There's no Motley Crue anywhere here. Like, who even says shit like that? And I was just like, that's why I don't read comments. Where do they get this stuff?
It is interesting. And it's a bit like, you know, what you're talking about here, being able to do all of these different things, being able to try different styles, being able to just do something that's not Motley Crue. But you get a song like the song Tommy Lee.
Yes.
You know, and I start thinking about, on one hand, you're you and you're just doing you and you're making this music that comes to you, that inspires you. But you're also kind of synonymous in a pop culture sort of way. And a track like that sort of proves that. I mean, if it allows you to, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like not be a caricature of yourself, but a persona, I guess, is what I'm getting at. I mean, do you feel like that allows you the freedom to throw on, you know, Thin White Duke, Ziggy Stardust every now and then and just be something bigger than life?
It is really, it's even hard to explain. Like, I'm honored to death that someone would even call a song Tommy Lee, and then to have a song be about you, and coming from guys that, like, fucking Post Malone is probably one of the biggest artists other than Billie Eilish, and like, he's like, those are like extremely talented and successful artists, and to get that back is, I mean, it's hard to even explain. It's such a, it feels so cool. And it's like, it's like you're in the club. Like, you know, they've not only accepted you, they're fucking honoring you. And like, it's hard to talk about myself like that.
Sure.
And so it's difficult. I'm sorry, but it's cool because it really just acknowledges that what I'm doing, I'm on the right path. Like, you know, getting shout outs from a bunch of other hip hop artists, and my name pops up in a bunch of songs. That just I get a kick out of that. I'm like, that's fucking rad, man. You know, it's weird even talking about it. I don't know.
You know, there are so few artists who get to be culturally relevant in multiple decades. And since your career took off, and you know, I'll say in the 80s, you've been culturally relevant in every single decade since then. I mean, that's a club right there. That's a club.
It is, man. It's one of those, that's a small group and a small club of people that are still cool that are doing that. And I'm fucking just honored to be, you know, in it. And I get embarrassed. I don't even know what to say.
Somebody's going to start blushing. It's fine.
I don't know, man. I got a horseshoe stuck in my butt. I'm a lucky motherfucker, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. Tommy Lee, congratulations again. Andrew, again, this is a powerful, fun record. I love following what you're doing every single time. So thank you for continuing to do it and for taking the time to talk about it, too.
That's so rad. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me, man. And I really do appreciate your recognition for the record. I can tell that you've listened to it, and that it's cool. And I appreciate interviews like this to actually talking about music and not the dumb shit.
So anytime.
Thank you, sir. Have a killer day. Be safe. All that good shit.
Awesome, man. Tommy, thank you so much. We'll see you around.
Okay, pal. Be good.
Right. My thanks to Tommy Lee. The brand new record is called Andro. Thanks to you as well, again, for checking out this episode. Please, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all of the interviews that we put out every single week. 3 brand new interviews a week. Of course, you can subscribe at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube for the video versions. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show at 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along over there as well. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.